Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. As always, a big thank you to you for listening to Hello, World each day at this time, for telling others about the broadcast, thanking this Christian radio station for carrying the program, and certainly your financial support. We can always use it. Greg Patton Ministries, a part of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Your gift tax deductible, my friend. Hey, we would love to come speak at your church. Greg Patton Ministries, or you can just go to gregpatton.com and get in touch. Find out when we're available. And, just love to talk to people and share the good news of Jesus Christ and encourage you to get back to the way it used to be with the Lord, huh? Thanks again for being a part of Hello World and Greg Patton Ministries. I think I love you. What in the world is going on this Friday? Gee, you think so? Joe Obama criticized Republicans for transporting migrants from the U.S.-Mexico border to various Democratic-controlled communities, which he described as a political stunt. Biden called on Republicans to take action to support those in the country illegally. He just said, stop it. Stop sending those. That's a political stunt. It's un-American. Really, Joe? During an address at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, Biden accused Republicans of playing politics and using migrants as props. Martha Vineyards found out. Vice President Kamala Harris, yep, that's where the latest migrants went, to her home. This is a big joke. Biden said, we have a process in place to manage migrants at the border. No, you don't, you big buffoon. Speaking of big buffoons, let's go to the leftist loonies, NBC's Chuck Todd. He said it's inhumane to send illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, a wealthy island in Massachusetts, the home to former President Obama's $12 million estate and various other very wealthy liberals. The Biden administration will consider litigation this week against Republican governors who are doing this. A Friday meeting involving White House officials along with Homeland Security, Justice and Defense Departments will also discuss other border issues amid a record number. No kidding. Thousands and thousands and thousands flooding across the border. Yeah, you got it under control, all right, Joe. Here's something I didn't know. New York City is one of the only U.S. cities with a right to shelter law. You know what that is? A result of a 79 court settlement. It mandates that the city, New York, give every homeless person in the city a bed in a habitable facility. And the big picture, some migrant experts say that the governors are unwillingly helping out migrants by subsidizing costly travel with taxpayer money. Texas has spent nearly $13 million on busing migrants, while Florida's allocated $12 million for relocation. It is a mess. What in the world going on here in Canada? An owner of a Tesla said that the battery on his $140,000 special vehicle died, and that the electric automaker told him a replacement would cost $26,000, so they locked him out of his car until he gets the new battery. Mario Zelaya posted a video on TikTok saying his piece of trash, his words, piece of trash car died, and that the car is locked, preventing him from being able to get in. The caption on the video reads, $26,000 for a new battery, locked out of a car. Recalls are needed. He said he purchased the car in 2013, but said models from that year and 2014 had major issues with fluid from the air conditioning system leaking onto the battery. I got Transport Canada involved, and they actually did an investigation on the car. Not only did they do an investigation on the car, they're going to be doing one that Tesla doesn't realize is coming up. Really, many Tesla owners have this issue. They're trying to sweep it under the rug, say the people buying these $140,000 cars. They won't give any explanation why the batteries die. There you go. So here's the question that keeps coming up. Exactly what are the Democrats offering to make America better? Exactly. They're depressing, every one of them. The depressing nature of the so-called president and his recent speeches. They're awful. They're ugly. Everybody's saying that, including some Democrats. It's how the White House is promoting hatred that bothers so many people. They are. They're promoting hatred throughout the country. And you thought Trump was bad. What do you call it, Joe? United we stand? Hey, you presented the most negative, the most depressing take on the United States of America I think anyone has ever heard from a sitting U.S. president. You're not really one, but you're taking the title anyway. Well, not counting the vindictive speech you did at Independence Hall a few weeks ago, that is. Now the event tried to brand itself as bipartisan because it featured, really, some bipartisan people. We don't even want to go there. Americans today struggling to pay for their essentials. The Democrats essentially have nothing to offer except more division, more demons. Demonization, actually. They can't defend the 8.3% inflation, so they peddle a few smears and lies and stuff here and there. Who's the father of lies? In the flesh, go to the White House. So some of the most hateful people around now, they want to be the gatekeepers of what constitutes protected political speech. And there it is, isn't it? The big setup for political censorship via social media lefty loonies. If you can't beat them, well then shut them up. And to justify the coming censorship via social media giants, radical professors at the colleges and even in teachers in high school, sweeping generalities. And remember, the key word is hate. Only goes one way. To you, conservative. To you, Christian. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is the new America. Well, you know this one is true. Presidents begin their terms with some grand visions. We're all behind them. How they're going to uplift America and its people. Futuristic policy prescriptions. But you know what? They often get mired down in more mundane things, making sure the old boring stuff works before they move on to Plan B. For Joe Obama, there may be no better example of this reality than the historic rise in inflation, which has turned every purchase into a reminder that something is broken in our system, starting at the White House, Washington, D.C., and Biden can't fix it or won't. But a close second is obstacles that prevent people from the just a simple act from getting from point A to point B. In the last several months, Americans have become dissatisfied with every major mode of travel in America and are increasingly lodging their complaints with that administration that sometimes has an answer and most of the time does not. Even the answer doesn't work out very well, right? Americans were forced to wear masks on airplanes for more than a year until a district judge ruled the federal government has no authority to do that. Gee whiz. And what should have been a joyous return to air travel only led to complaints about delays and rescheduled flights. Our recent trip was every phase of our trip recently to Tennessee was wrong. Delay, delay, delay. Every step of the way. That's the new America and air travel. A nationwide pilot shortage is seen as a major reason behind all these delays. In some cases, the problem has led airlines to end services completely to some city because they don't have, well, the staff to make up the trip. Over this summer, the airline industry said it's 12,000 pilots short and said fewer flights are taking off from most airports in America. There's no quick fix. Somehow, we gotta work on shoring things up, but I don't know with these people if it's even possible. What else is happening? That rail strike. Many of you want to know why I wasn't sharing much on that. Railroads, unions representing workers reached a labor deal, averting the mother of all supply chain disasters. If workers would have gone on strike today, the agreement, which includes pay raises and the loosening of strict attendance policies, was brokered by the Biden administration. 20 hours straight they did that. Amazon took a three-hour break from promoting the Rings of Power to make football history. Last night's game between the Chiefs and the Chargers marked the first time ever that the NFL regular season game was aired exclusively on a streaming service. And the Swiss maestro, the tennis great, Mr. Federer, said goodbye to competitive tennis. And that he has nothing else to prove. Considered one of the greatest tennis players of all time, he racked up 20 Grand Slam single titles, $130 million earned in tennis, and perhaps $1 billion more in sponsorship. Isn't that something? And then here's one of those I don't understand. Thousands of mourners in London waited in line for up to 9 hours yesterday for a chance to pay their respects to Queen Elizabeth II, whose coffin is resting at Westminster Hall. I mean, that was really wild. They had 500 porta-potties out there, and 1,000 people were there to make sure the line stays orderly and no big trouble. And they had 30 clergy members across different religions brought in to walk down the line and chat with people. Okay, still don't get it. Hey, let me ask you, ever found any really good bargains at the Goodwill, Salvation Army, the thrift store, wherever you might go? Huh? Here's one of those crazy stories other people always tell. Sure they do. This woman, I guess, was taking care of her mother's affairs after she passed away and gave a lot of things to Goodwill. One of them was a mixer in a box. And for whatever reason, Goodwill didn't check on it, I guess. They just set it up on the shelf, put a price on it. Some gentleman, he looked like he was maybe Vietnamese, purchased that, went home, and boy, inside were foil wraps. And inside the wraps, hundreds and hundreds, actually $40,000. What? Now, my Christian friend, you went to Goodwill, you paid fair and square for the... What would you do? Yeah, I paused, gotta tell you. This guy said, if it happened today, he would do it all over again because it's the right thing to do. And then, I don't know what the figure, $40,000, but as I looked over and Googled this today, $40,000 in a couch given to Salvation Army in another thrift store. $40,000 found in clothing. That's kind of ironic. Every time, $40,000? You'd be surprised how many are online like that. Each case that I'm reading about here, the people gave the money back. That's fascinating to me. This guy's not going to be giving anything back. A New York construction worker became a multimillionaire thanks to winning a lottery ticket. Boy, somehow he kept everything a secret. Prior to a trip to Maryland, Staten Island resident Nandal Mangdal, 42 years old, checked his Powerball ticket. He indeed won $245 million. After checking it multiple times, everything matched. He got in touch with a lawyer. Good idea. He didn't tell his friends, he didn't tell his family or his co-workers at the construction site where he's a carpenter. He worked there for a month while keeping mum about everything. He told WPIX, he says now his co-workers are going to find out after seeing him on TV and reading about this in the paper. Mangel says he's going to take a lump sum. Going to be a millionaire 100 times over. Says he's going to put the money in a trust fund called the Sea and Sand Trust. That's probably a hint that he's headed for some exotic island. Sometimes that can sound like a really good idea. Finally, who said that? Hey, my friend, be ready to walk alone. Most who start with you, not going to finish with you. Remember, though, he is always with you. Oh, boy, here's a good one. Nobody made a greater mistake than the one who did nothing because he could only do a little bit. Edmund Burke. That's good. And what did George Orwell say in his book 1984? Every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture repainted, every statue, street, and building renamed, every date altered. And the process continues day by day. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. Whoa. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Always, and I mean always, a joy to come to you with Hello World. As I told the church down in Elizabethan last Sunday, anytime anyone comes to hear me, I think it's a really big deal, and I mean that sincerely. But thank you for being a part of Hello World every day at this time, Monday through Friday. Tell a friend about the broadcast, and if you've missed one, you can go to gregpatton.com, P-A-T-T-E-N.com, and right on the front page, last month, last week, 2 years, 3 years, oh, it's all there, my friend. Join me on Facebook. I love that, and you're doing it. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-M. Ever in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area? Come join us at The Cross, the church for everyday people here in the Midwest, Fort Wayne, Indiana. So good to have you be a part. Thank you for your support, your prayers. Some of the nicest people listen to Hello World. I keep meeting you everywhere I go. Thank you. As I said before, I think I love you. Not, I know I do. So how many times do I have to remind myself and others of a very important fact? You get it. Hey, God is in control. He is sovereign. So many things happening in today's world. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, hey, I know all the doctrine of the Bible, but unless I know Jesus Christ, there's not one of those doctrines that can save me. Well, that's certainly true. But I get, looking at the world today and the news stories that I'm doing, it just seems like everything is out of control and life is unmanageable. Oh, yeah. And you know what? You've experienced that. Maybe you're experiencing it right now when life just seems to be out of control. Thankfully, during a particularly discouraging season in my life, a friend repeated this to me. Never forgot it. You shouldn't either. Remember always, God is in control. Remember always, God is in control. That statement became an anchor. And I discovered this powerful truth. If you have an unwavering conviction that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed control of everything, then you have an awesome sense of strength and confidence and peace and, yes, even joy, no matter what you're facing in life. In Psalm 103, verse 19, the Bible says, the Lord's sovereignty rules over all. The word sovereign, well, that refers to God's absolute control and authority over everything in the universe, my friend. This doesn't mean that he cares a whole lot whether I wear black socks or brown socks or argyle or whatever. Everything refers to all situations. Now get this, affecting other people. How you doing? Many people think a sovereign, loving God wouldn't allow any violence in the world today, any tragedy in the world today, anything to go wrong in your world today. Since pain abounds, then God's not in control. That's the understanding. How ridiculous. Their thinking is erroneous. The world may sometimes seem chaotic, as when God permits illness and war and calamity. But even then, God is ultimately in control of everything. That's the scripture's clear message. Consider a few examples of his sovereignty from just the book of Genesis. In creation, God, he designed our world without any raw materials and set into motion the laws that govern this world. Genesis 1:1. If he can create the universe out of nothing, my friend, why wouldn't he be able to control it? We have the fall of man. While God didn't desire it, he knew mankind would sin. Genesis 3:6. However, before the creation of the world, he had already planned for Jesus to be sacrificed as our substitute. Revelation 13:8. The Tower of Babel, God had told the people to spread out and populate the entire world. But no, they're not going to do that. They disobey, preferring to build a grandiose tower and a city to glorify themselves. He confounded their language, which halted this project pronto. Genesis 11:1 through 9. They underestimated God's absolute rule over everything. And then the life of Joseph. Though he appeared to be a victim of circumstances for years, there was a divine purpose in all of that. Can you imagine what Joseph went through? We read there in Genesis 45, Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it too. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his very presence. Isn't that something? Then Joseph said to his brothers, Come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt." Imagine a brother selling a brother. "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on this earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. A time of weeping. Wow. I don't know. I just read that story and I think, what a man Joseph was. His story, a wonderful illustration of how Almighty God, you better believe it, controls everything. Even when evil seems to be winning at times, no, God is in charge. So the next time, my friend, that your life seems to be out of control, just remember, let me repeat it again, God is always in control. And now this, the question hung in the air there like a thick morning fog. There was just complete silence. Can you imagine? The small crowd around Jesus Christ looked stupefied, too scared or uncertain whether they should even speak. They didn't know what to say in response to the Lord's question. Who do you say that I am? Matthew 16:15. Then, as though some invisible hand flipped a switch there, bringing him into perfect awareness, Simon Peter's head shot up. He looked Jesus in the eye and declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter hit the nail right on the head. Calling Jesus Christ and God's Son was a big deal in biblical times. Such a statement led to the death of many brave believers, as the Jewish and Roman soldiers persecuted Christians who were willing to take a stand for their faith. Even those who walked side by side with Jesus and excitedly took part in his ministry sometimes hesitated to call him Christ. It was a huge risk, so they sometimes, they remained silent while continuing to work for the kingdom. Is there a disparity between what you profess with your mouth and what you're doing for the kingdom? Jesus calls us to be complete in testimony and in deed. Think about that today. And now this. So do you know any unbelievers? That person is not simply one who does not know Jesus Christ. The Bible describes him or her as one who is dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1, and dwells in spiritual darkness under the deceitful captivity of Satan, Acts 26:18. Solid biblical teaching is helpful for Christian testimony in word and deed, and that's so beneficial. But no activity or individual can bring a person from spiritual death to spiritual life without the active intervention of the Holy Spirit. Paul's first sermon on the continent of Europe was preached on a riverbank, and many heard that message, but the Bible records only one person, Lydia, who responded to it. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart, Acts 16:14. If you know an unbeliever, pray first for the divine activity of the Holy Spirit to prepare the path to salvation. Like you, I'm so glad that happened to me. Amen. And finally, a couple of good thoughts. Maybe this is you. You never realize how boring your life is until someone asks you, "What do you like to do for fun?" And I appreciate all you health aficionados trying to help me out. Little green tea here. So many of you people like green tea. Well, I've tried it, and I've got to tell you, I have lost 87% of the joy I once had drinking this stuff. And there was the sign in the parking lot. Parking lot under police surveillance. Do not leave valuables in your car. That's it. I've had my say for a Friday. I trust you're going to have a great weekend. You got to get the family, get the church, my friend. I can't wait. I'm going to be back right here at this time on Monday. I trust that you're going to join me, my friend. Have a great Friday. Have a great weekend. God bless everybody.